In your Bibles this morning, then, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, that's on page 944 if you have the smaller pew Bibles. And we actually are going to begin reading with verse 22, but the sermon is focused on verses 26 and 27. Hear the word of God, Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 22. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Now verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Amen to this reading of God's holy and divinely inspired word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for your word, your holy word. Lord, thank you that in your holy word you teach us about holy living as holy followers of Christ. You teach us about prayer and the power and the hope and the strength that we can know in prayer by the power and presence of your indwelling Holy Spirit that helps us in our weakness. And Lord, we pray that as we study your word together this morning, Lord, that you would be deepening our understanding. But Lord, we pray as well that you would continue to be developing hearts of love for Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. You know, back in the day, a responsible person would swiftly stop to help someone who was struggling. If you saw an older person crossing the street, you would stop to help them safely cross the street. You would stop on the highway and see if you could help someone change their tire. Although your parents may have reminded you at times, you held the door open for women and for senior citizens. In seminary, you know, back when, it wasn't engraved in stone, but you would help the new students moving in, but then they helped you when you moved out, when you graduated. You know, we all need help. You know, here in Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27, and I'd invite you to keep your Bibles open to that portion of Scripture. You know, God's Word teaches us that God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, helps us in our weakness, particularly when we need help to pray as Christians. You know, whether we're new Christians or whether we're seasoned saints, you and I need God's help in praying. For as we struggle in prayer, and there are often times when we do struggle in prayer, as we struggle in prayer, remember the gracious help of God's Spirit. Well, how does God's Spirit help us as we pray? You know, five things to remember about the gracious help of God's Spirit in prayer. You know, look first there at Romans chapter 8, verse 26. The first truth, God's Spirit helps us in our weakness. God's Spirit helps us in our weakness. That's what Scripture tells us. Likewise, the Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit, helps us in our weakness. You know, that verse starts with the word likewise. You know, it can be compared to that word therefore. When you see the word likewise, you go back to the preceding section, especially to the verse just before. Again, Romans chapter 8, verse 25. But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. You know, and how are we to wait for the redemption of our bodies, our full adoption as sons? You know, we're to be in prayer. And the challenge for us, though, as Christians is this. At times we feel weak as we pray. But it's a call for us as Christians to be fervent in prayer. Likewise, the Spirit. You know, that gospel truth, theological truth about God's Spirit saturates Romans, but especially chapter 8 here. We're going to see that word or that phrase, the Spirit, four times in two verses. The Spirit is referred to 21 times in Romans 8, 1 through 39. I'll give you a sampling again of what we have learned thus far. The Spirit of life, verse 2, Spirit of God, verse 9, Spirit of Christ, verse 9. The Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, verse 11. And then verse 15, the Spirit of adoption. You know, the Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, helps us in our weakness. You know, lest we gloss over that word help, it stands out in the original text, in the Greek text. It's a 17-letter word. Not too many 17-letter words. You can think about it. Let me know. It's a compound word. That's the way they did it in Greek. They would build layers upon layers of words. But it translates as follows. Different lexicons: to come alongside another and take a part of the heavy load, to help by joining in an activity or an effort. I'll give you one example. A few in Scripture. If you go back to the Old Testament book of Numbers, yes, it's there, Old Testament, Numbers chapter 11, verses 16 and 17, we read, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Gather for me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people, and officers over them. Bring them to the tent of meeting. Let them take their stand there with you, and I will come down and talk with you there, and I will take some of the Spirit that is on you and put it on them, and they shall bear the burden of the people.'" That's the idea. They shall help. They shall bear the burden of the people with you, Moses, so that you might not bear it yourself alone. You know, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. Our Westminster Larger Catechism, number 178, about prayer, answers that question, what is prayer, in this way. Prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God in the name of Christ by the help of His Spirit, with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of His mercies. The Spirit helps us And when does the Spirit help us? In our weakness. King James has infirmities. You know, when we're tired. You know, you think of Jesus there in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, what were the disciples doing? Sleeping. Jesus woke them up, and guess what they did again? They fell asleep. You know, when we're tempted to sin, when we're feeling spiritually weak, or when Satan tempts us to despair, you know, when we're angry, when we're apathetic, when we're feeling alone, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. You know, the Apostle Paul, it struck me in preparing for this message, how often the Apostle Paul readily acknowledged his weakness. I'll give you one example, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, we read, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." And Paul is preaching the same thing as in Romans 8. You know, in weakness, I was able to preach the power of the Spirit to help me in my weakness. And I believe our gracious God gently reminds his beloved children of our weakness. And that's a good thing. Why? Because when we're weak, then we see our need for prayer. You know, when the skies are sunny, money in the checkbook, we're feeling healthy, get good grades, car's running fine, got a roof over our head, no hurricanes in the forecast, you know, then we're not so fervent in prayer. You know, when we're weak, that's when we pray. That's when I pray. I believe that's when you pray. Augustine put it this way: the best disposition for praying is that of being desolate, forsaken, stripped of everything. You know, there's a line from a hymn that we sing that reads as follows: "Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer." You know, Jesus already knows your weakness. You can't hide it from him. And so it's a good thing, you know, for us to come to the Lord in prayer and say, "Lord, I'm weak. I'm weary. I'm worn out. But thank you that I can pray." God graciously gives us the Spirit to help us in our weakness, to help us to pray. So the first thing to remember about the gracious help of God's Spirit in prayer, it helps us in our weakness. Secondly, it helps us in our ignorance. Look again at verse 26, Romans 8. "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought." You know, here's the Apostle Paul. And notice the pronoun there. He doesn't say, you don't know what to pray for. We. He includes himself. You know, we do not know what to pray for as we ought. You know, and it's especially thinking about the content of prayer. We do not know what to pray for. You know, and that word "what" is important. You know, at times we're clueless Christians when it comes to prayer. You know, we feel ignorant. "Lord, you know, I don't know what to pray for. I know I ought to pray, and I'm weak. I know this situation." And here, God's word reminds us, you know, there are times, often, when we do not know what to pray for. You know, we struggle to find words to pray. You know, and just as an application, that's where Scripture helps. When you don't know what to pray for, pray Scripture. Pray it back to God. But let me give you three quick biblical examples of men and women of faith who struggled with spiritually ignorant prayers, just lest we take this lightly. You know, knowing that the Spirit helps us in our ignorance. First example is Job. You know, back in Job, after he endured all of that loss, material loss, loss of his family, children, you know, how did Job pray? Job chapter 3, verse 1. After this, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. And Job said, "Let the day perish on which I was born, and the night that said a man is conceived. Let that day be darkness. May God above not seek it, nor light shine upon it." And it goes from there. You know, at this point, Job didn't know what to pray for. But then read the end of Job. I'll leave that to you. A second example, the mother of James and John, sons of Zebedee, Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, verse 20, we read, "Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came up to him," that's Jesus, "with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked him for something. And he said to her, 'What do you want?' And she said to him, 'Say that these two sons of mine are to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your kingdom.'" You know, I would call that an ignorant prayer. You know, she didn't know what she was asking for. You know, and at times we pray those same ignorant prayers. You know, third example, the Apostle Paul himself. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 9. You know, Paul prayed three times for the thorn in the flesh. 2 Corinthians 12, 7. "So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me." Now hear verse 9. "But he," that is the Lord, "said to me," that's to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." You know, we pray ignorantly, but God even uses our ignorant prayers when we don't know what to pray for to accomplish his will. You know, that's the sovereignty of God. You know, if truth be told, we at times too pray ignorantly. We may not pray this prayer, and some of you will recognize the words. "So Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends." We still might pray ignorant prayers in our youth. You know, talking to our youth here, and I know I prayed these. You know, "Lord, make me more handsome," you know. Or, "Ladies, make me more beautiful. Lord, make me more athletic. I'm sort of gangly. You know, Lord, make me less awkward." You know, as parents, we might pray, "Lord, give smart friends to my children." You know, keep those not so smart kids away. Or we might pray, "Let them win this earthly academic reward." You know, for us elderly, I'm getting pretty close, probably there. You know, we can wring our hands. We can pray for the crashing culture around us. You know, we can pray for our country. And I think we ought to pray for our country. You know, but what should be the content? You know, Lord, we don't know what to pray for. You know, to give you a few principles here quickly. You know, rightly reverence our Holy Heavenly Father, Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven. As well, daily repent of sins. Rejoice you know, in our redemption in Christ. Remember to pray for the salvation of lost sinners. And yes, we can and should pray for our children, for our families, for our country. But pray for Christ's church. Use that hymn, Jesus with thy church abide. You know, pray for the sick and the sorrowing. You know, and let scriptures, again, guide your prayers. So the Holy Spirit helps us to pray, you know, in our weakness, helps us to pray in our ignorance. Third, it helps us by intercession. You know, again, to that last part of Romans chapter 8, verse 26. But the Spirit himself, you know, it's an emphatic statement, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. You know, Calvin translated it, but the Spirit himself abundantly intercedes for us. You know, what's intercession? It's not a word we use too often, even in the church. The Holy Spirit acts as our advocate before the Father. It's legal terminology here. He continually pleads our case before God's throne of grace. Seminary professor Knox Chamblin put it this way: knowing our helplessness, he, that is the Holy Spirit, is a sustaining intercessor. Now keep in mind, too, the intercessory work of Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 34, just a few verses down the road. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. So do you see what Scripture is telling us here in Romans 8? The Holy Spirit is interceding for us as we pray. And if that's not enough, Christ himself is interceding for us as we pray. And what does the Holy Spirit plead for? I believe he pleads the shed blood of Christ. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 12. I know we're looking at a fair number of scriptures here. Isaiah 53, verse 12, just the last part. Because he, that is Christ, poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. You know, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, reminds us that we as sinners, redeemed sinners, can come before a holy God, you know, because of the blood of Christ. So the Holy Spirit helps us in our intercession, and lest we take that casually, look at the last part, with groanings too deep for words. With groanings too deep for words. It's a challenging scriptural phrase. But let's study it in context. I'm not going to give you all of the possibilities here. But the question, basic question is this: who is groaning here? Many people make the case that it is, you know, we are the ones groaning. Others say, well, it's the Holy Spirit who's doing the groaning. Some would even take that to the gift of tongues. Not a strong scriptural case there. I'll stick with Dr. Jim Boyce. He believes there's a biblical progression here. And here, keep your Bibles open. Back to chapter 8, verse 22. Remember, there was the groaning of creation. Then in verse 23, to Christians who groan inwardly as they await their adoptions as son. And so he takes 8:26 to be the groaning of the Spirit. He writes, it's a bold progression, but it appears to be deliberate. You know, it's a godly groaning of the Holy Spirit as he helps us in our weakness as we pray. You remember that picture of the Holy Spirit? It helps bear that burden. And so the Holy Spirit is our burden bearer. And if we're not groaning, the Holy Spirit is groaning as he's helping us in our prayers. Unuttered groanings that cannot be fully expressed in words. And then Dr. Boyce concludes by saying, a real burden bearer groans with you. And that'll be an encouragement, you know, for us as we pray. I give you one scriptural example. You can look it up yourself, read it. 1 Samuel chapter 1. You remember Hannah is praying for a son, childless at that point. She's deeply distressed, scripture tells us. She's weeping. She's speaking, praying from her heart, her lips moved, and Eli the priest is watching her, and he thinks she's drunk. You know, but the Lord heard her prayer, heard her groanings, and the Holy Spirit, I believe, was groaning with Hannah there in 1 Samuel chapter 1. You know, two takeaways here for us that give us gospel hope in prayer. First, God's gracious assurance that the Holy Spirit intercedes for Christians who struggle to pray. You know, if you're struggling to pray today, if I'm struggling to pray, be encouraged. The Holy Spirit himself intercedes for us as we pray. And here as well, God gives us gracious assurance of his Holy Spirit as our strength, our sympathizer as we pray. Number four, thing to remember, the Holy Spirit helps us to remember our gracious God. Now, verse 27, and he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. And now we're moving from the work of the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, I believe, to the work of God the Father, who is searching hearts. And he who searches hearts. You know, Scripture is teaching us that our omniscient, omnipotent God graciously searches the hearts of believers as we pray. You know, he gently examines the spiritual state of our hearts. You know, and I use this phrase, you know, a little bit hesitantly, but God is a careful cardiologist. You know, hear this, Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 and 10. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10. Verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. And who can understand it? You know, many of us know that verse, total depravity, but hear verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. You know, why does the Lord search our hearts? I believe he searches our hearts even as we pray. You know, we're still, be still and know that I am God. You know, we're quiet. We know we're in God's presence. And the Lord uses that time to search our hearts by the power of his Holy Spirit. And what's his purpose? His purpose in searching is to diagnose any spiritual hardness in our hearts, to uncover hidden sin. His Spirit convicts us of sin, calls us to a speedy repentance, to run to Christ in the cross. You know, without a need for a heart monitor, our holy God shows us our heart sickness of sin so that he can bring gracious gospel restoration. You know, here again to those verses at the beginning and end of Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verse 1, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. And then how does he close there? Verse 23. He pleads with God, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any grievous way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. You know, that's what we're praying. You know, he who searches hearts, God the Father knows the mind of the Spirit. I'll admit, that's a mystery to me. You know, here God the Father knows the mind of the Spirit, a unique expression there for the Spirit. You know, but it shows us again the powerful person and work of the Holy Spirit. You know, God's Holy Spirit helps us to remember. You know, I believe that's part of the phrase, the mind of the Spirit. You know, that we're praying to a gracious God. You know, this gospel call to prayer can be one of the greatest gospel challenges for us as Christians. You know, what excuses do we use? I'll tell you a few of mine. You know, I'm too busy. You know, catch you later, Lord. Got to hit the ground running today. Or, if I pray now, Lord, I'll be late for school or work. You understand, I got to get to school, got to get to work. Or we say, Lord, I'm not very good at praying. I'll let that other person pray. You know, my spouse, they pray a whole lot better than I do. You know, I'll let them carry the heavy load. And I'll just ride on their coattails. You know, why do we struggle to pray? And here I use the word we. I believe the main reason is pride. You know, we struggle to pray because we know that God is going to search our hearts. God will uncover that hidden sin. God will call us to repentance. And that's hard for us as Christians. Even for Christians. But his Holy Spirit graciously calls us to holy repentance, calls us to persevere in prayer. Finally, the Holy Spirit helps us follow the will of God. If you're taking notes, I know sometimes I zip through, but here they are, the five again. I can write these down later. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. The Holy Spirit helps us in our ignorance. The Holy Spirit helps us to pray by his intercession. The Holy Spirit helps us to remember our gracious God. Fifth and finally, the Holy Spirit helps us follow the will of God. That last phrase, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Again, we hear this clear and comforting truth. The Spirit intercedes for us. And here it calls us saints. Be encouraged there. You know, God's Spirit perseveres in interceding for Christians as our advocate. You know, Christ always lives to make intercession for us, is what we read in Hebrews 7:25. Well, here Scripture tells us the Holy Spirit is always making intercession for us. Matthew Henry put it this way, unique style always, Christ intercedes for us in heaven. The Spirit intercedes for us in our hearts. Intercedes for the saints. You know, that's what Scripture calls us. What's a saint? You know, one who has been saved from their sins by the shed blood of Christ. One who has been sanctified, being made more holy by the gracious ongoing work of God's Spirit. You know, we're not perfect. We're not without sin. We're not in heaven yet. But still, God gives us that gracious encouragement that the Spirit intercedes for the saints. And one of the gospel priorities of God's saints is Spirit-empowered prayer for the glory of God, the glory of Christ. And finally, according to the will of God. You know, although we may struggle in prayer, our sovereign God reveals his will to us in the sure truth of Scripture and as his Spirit works in our hearts. When we want to know the will of God, we know it through his word, and he graciously reveals it to us as we pray. And as we pray, he points us back to Scripture. Here's our reassurance then as we pray. And again, to quote Dr. Chamberlain, indeed a scholar and a saint, of the Spirit, that is God himself, knows the will of God fully and flawlessly, and prays accordingly. You know, if you take a look at the summary of our joint elder and deacons meeting, you know, last Monday, you'll see that your church officers started by spending time in prayer. The expression is a season of prayer. You know, what's a season of prayer? It's prayer when you're not watching the clock. It's prayer when you're not listening to an alarm. Okay, we've prayed our 3 minutes. It's a time when each officer can take part in praying as the Spirit leads. We pray for God's flock here at Hope Church. We pray for the sick and struggling ones. We pray for the spread of the gospel. For the gospel ministry of our church, we pray for the ministries we support and our missionaries. And I would submit to you, believe prayer is the most important thing we do at those meetings. Prayer is one of the vital ministries of Hope Presbyterian Church, of any true church that calls Jesus as their Lord, claims to follow the truth of God's word. I'm thankful that our women are even more faithful in praying, gathering for prayer each a Friday morning. So then, what can we learn about God's help as we struggle to pray? And we will continue to struggle to pray. This is not a sermon, you know, three quick steps so you never struggle again in prayer. You're going to struggle. I'm going to struggle in prayer. But what do we learn about God's help for us as we struggle to pray? Three applications, quickly. First, Scripture calls all Christians to pray. Not just deacons, elders, pastors, parents, Sunday school teachers. Parents, encourage your children to pray. As soon as they can start talking, even making sounds. Lynn will tell you, I can't remember which one of our children, when we prayed, they would make sounds only known to God himself. But they were praying. Teach your children to pray. Model praying before them. Secondly, even for God's saints, prayer can be a struggle. And I believe the more we mature, grow in faith, prayer becomes more of a struggle. It's hard. But God still calls us to pray, and he strengthens us. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. And that's the third truth. God's Spirit helps us as we pray. In our weakness and ignorance, he intercedes with and for us. And so in our weakness, may we know the power of prayer, because we're always praying by the power of the risen Christ. One who died for our sins, rose again from the grave, is coming again. There's help for us as we struggle to pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you hear the struggling prayers of your saints, Lord. Forgive us when we falter, fail, forget to pray, choose not to pray for whatever reason, sinful reason. And Lord, I pray this for the Hope Church family, those who are listening. I pray for myself, for my own family, Lord, that you would strengthen us. Strengthen us by the power of your Spirit, by the power of the risen Christ, all for the glory of your name. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.